Well, actually, no, we don't. That is, you would you would have to go into that more specifically. That is not what I'm referring. I'm referring to the fact that the outcome of this was that when you read your formula of concord, the prevailing party said, we don't want anybody to think that we don't know what we teach anymore. We are teaching exactly what we taught 50 years ago. Now, what went on there is if you can dig that out, that's your circus. You can have that to your heart's content. But this is the culmination of all of that turmoil that set in when Luther died, you see. Mr. Beiler, did you have a question?
You said when we shifted from the Augsburg Confession, we had to make a double shift before we went into place.
When you take the Augsburg Confession, the Apology, the Smalkalde Articles and the Catechisms of Luther. During all of those, Luther was decidedly alive. And during all of that time, the issue was between the Lutheran party and somebody on the outside. Then you've got to go from 1529 or 1530 to 1550-55. Luther died in 46. Then hell broke loose. And the Lutheran party found that they were not adhering anymore to Luther's stance. They had all kinds of opinions floating around. And then, of course, that gave rise to the reference to the Lutherans as being in the woods and not knowing anymore what they taught. And so now this is the introduction. And from here on, then, we can take this as a sort of a backdrop against which we are considering any details that we come up with so far as the specific study of the doctrines is concerned. And you can take this into account as you now do your own thing by yourself. Now, here would be as a matter of suggestion, if you are interested in what in the world would you take on as, for instance, for personal pursuit and so on. Well, all of this background material in the historical introductions leading up to the specific controversy as you have it listed here would be an eminently worthy thing for you to consider, you see. And any study that you make or any reading that you do now in the Book of Concord with this background in mind in order to get the feel of the language and the points that the language actually want to make would be something, of course, that could rate very well in the field of personal pursuit. So I'm only making this suggestion if somebody should happen to wonder, well, what in the world would I grab to or what would I do in a matter of this business of personal pursuit. So that what I have tried to do today is to simply to set the stage for you so that you realize that you are in an entirely different era now. You're still having to do with biblical doctrine, but you're having to do with biblical doctrine as it was contested within the Lutheran party itself. And there was every danger, you know, that the Lutheran party was going to come out of this ingloriously, so that all that it stood for in former times would have been past history. And by the grace of God, it turned out that they got a hold of themselves, and these wild spirits that were alive in the Lutheran camp in those days simply did not have their way. And that's what the formula of Concord tells us in no unmistakable terms.